Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it's your girl Cotton Campbell, and I have one of my besties on the line, one of the ladies of TMGN, and if I'm not mistaken, I got Miss Lady Justice. Where you at, Lady J? She there somewhere, y'all. Can you hear me, Lady J?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
This is Lady J in the house. Lady J up in the crib.
Okay. I'm so happy you're here.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not sure where our other two ladies, I think one of our ladies said she's not going to be able to make it tonight, but I'm not sure where Patricia B is. But we will wait for her to join us. How was your week, Miss Lady Justice? Give us some about what's going on with you this week.
Well, what was going on with me this week is a lot. You know me, it's always a lot.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, I know.
I want to tell y'all about a nice surprise, but we ain't ready yet. But that took up some time. So let me just tell you guys that it's really something that I've been wanting to do for a long time, and best friend, my boss T, Cotton Campbell, has been pushing me and finally pushed me over the edge, and I finally completed it. But I can't talk about it right now because I'm giving this to her. This is her baby to announce, so I don't want to ruin that. But that is what I've really, truly been working hard on this week, to get it ready for her, to do what she's trying to do with it. And what else? Besides that, I went down to the Brown versus the Board of Education National History site, and that was very eye-opening for me. I learned some things that I didn't know, and that's unfortunate. I learned some things from some people that didn't look like me that made it even worse. I like to be educated, but when it comes to stuff about people that look like me, I needed to come from people that look like me, and it didn't, and so it kind of hurt my feelings, but I took it in stride, and I know what I need to do with it, and it's continue to educate where we're undereducated or miseducated at. But I think that's another show that Cotton is already going to be talking about. What else did I do?
Definitely another show, but yes. Look, y'all, me and my best friend get together, which is Lady Justice. When we get together, we brainstorm on so many different things that sometimes our phone conversations last really long because there are so many things that we want to do for the community, in the community, with our youth and with women, period. It takes a lot of our time. So we don't talk every day. We communicate, but we don't talk on the phone every day because, boy, she gets it going, I get it going. And we need an assistant to write down all the stuff that comes up in the course of our conversation because there's so much going on in the world. But the thing that we did come to the realization, and I will share this with y'all, the thing that we did come to terms with is that we have to do us first so that we can do bigger at helping other people. Because that's our passion. So we're working on that. So I will, like she said, I'm not going to tell y'all right now. I will tell y'all later. And who the heck is calling this phone right now? Like, people know you're online. They'd be like, let me call and see what she's doing. No.
Don't they?
The message I sent you that says I'm on the air right now. So tonight on TMGN Network, let's talk about it. Patricia, I don't see you yet popping up. She just sent a message. But tonight we're talking about PTSD, and it is a real thing. Like, we have to recognize that PTSD is not just for people that were in the military. PTSD happens in just your everyday life. And sometimes you have to recognize it. Some people can't recognize it because you don't even know. Like, I didn't know I had PTSD until a few years ago, and I was like, oh my God, that's what that is. But I had to deal with it, and I moved on. You know, needless to say, I do my best not to put myself in certain situations so that I don't have those triggers in my life because it turns it becomes a trigger. Ladies, Jesse, are you familiar with PTSD?
I am very familiar.
Okay.
Very. I really didn't know it either, best friend. I really didn't know that it was a part of my life for such a long time. Here I am thinking that I'm okay and all I'm doing is just existing. You know, I wasn't living. I was just existing, trying to make it through each and every day, just existing. But now I'm living because I actually understand that through all the trauma that I've gone through in my life, I have experienced a lot of PTSD.
Yeah, but nobody, you know, honestly, nobody tells you how to deal with that because, in black households, they don't know. So you just think, you just start living life like it's normal and we've normalized certain behaviors and it shouldn't be normalized. You have to get some type of assistance. It has to be identified for you in order for you to know how to deal with it. So just to give you, for those of you who are not familiar with PTSD, PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder. It's a mental health condition that is triggered by a terrifying event, either experiencing or witnessing it yourself. Symptoms may include flashbacks, nightmares, and severe anxiety, as well as uncomfortable thoughts about the event itself. And so there are five common PTSD symptoms. And, of course, I mentioned flashbacks, feeling the trauma as if it's happening right now, intrusive thoughts or images, nightmares, intense distress or real or symbolic reminders of the trauma, physical sensations such as pain, sweating, nausea, and or trembling. So those are some of the symptoms of PTSD. You have to, again, recognize it. It is considered a disability for some because some people cannot live real life because of PTSD, which is crazy, crazy, crazy. I personally, I mean, for me, I'm never afraid to talk about my traumatic experiences growing up, and I was molested when I was younger, and then as I got older, before I hit my 20s, I was raped. And then, so I realized I had PTSD some years back when somebody tried to push up on me in a situation where I was feeling very ill already, and they were trying to take advantage of that moment, and I just broke down and started crying. Like, I was like, oh, my God, what am I crying for? What is wrong with me right now? And I said, because literally he triggered something in me that made me feel like I was that little girl again all over. Like, I felt like I was a little girl, and I didn't know what to do. I said, get out. I told him to just get out. I was like, get out now. He said, oh, you serious? Get out, because I'm not a little girl anymore, and I'm not getting ready to let you make me feel some type of way. Because either this is going to go bad for you or it's going to go bad for me. And I'm not going to let you make me feel like I'm that little girl anymore where I have no control over what happens to me going forward. So I think Patricia said she's on. So let's bring Miss Patricia into the call. Miss Patricia Banks, thanks for joining us.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello? Hi.
Yes. Hey, Miss Lady.
Hello, hello. How are you? I'm listening to what's the story.
Good. So you know we're talking about PTSD. Do you have any, would you like to weigh in on that, on that topic?
Okay. Well, I don't know, you know, what you all have covered so far, but I understand that it's a serious thing, and a lot of the things that people are dealing with nowadays, you know, are, you know, traumatic experiences. And, you know, I heard you talking about, you know, what happened to you, you know, as far as being molested. And sexual assault is, you know, one of the things that PTSD can develop from. So it's definitely,
yes.
You know, we need to be mindful of, you know, that it's a real thing.
It most certainly is. And that's what, and that's the other side of this, is once you recognize that that's what it is, you want to try to seek help for it, because people go into having panic attacks, people go into sadness, and again, if you don't know what it is, then you don't know how to get help for it. I think in the Black community for sure, we definitely need to start taking into consideration that counseling helps.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, we would just talk to our friends and family about whatever certain things. Now, you couldn't talk about everything that's going on in the household, but you could talk to certain friends and family about stuff, and that was your counseling. And then they tell you, better not tell nobody, but don't talk about that no more.
Yeah, don't tell nobody.
Hey, this ain't supposed to be a secret. Right. Before what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas is what happens in this house stays in this house. One of our listeners says she also shares the story, and she went through a situation yesterday, and she came all the way unplugged. And she said it really does help to get counseling. Is that what you're saying, Ms. Perkins, is to get counseling? Because it is important to get counseling. It is important to get help when you're going through this, because especially some of our military people. I know quite a few of our military people who have PTSD because of the traumas that they experienced just in boot camp. Just in boot camp alone, because you know them sergeants, they go in, they don't hold nothing back. Oh, they go in on you. And some of the stories I've heard, it's like, ooh, I couldn't do that. I thought I could be military, but I'm good. No, because I'm too, I'm too hard-headed. I couldn't have been. I'm not a good listener at all. I don't follow directions well at all. They'd have been right on out. I would have been in the lockdown. They would have put me in lockdown, even though there's no lockdown in the military. They'd have lock her down. She don't want to listen. So, yeah, I don't know, y'all. I wouldn't have been good at it.
I ain't no good for boot camp.
I'm not. I knew that I could be. And I think that's probably why some of the military people, you know, they have to, they do experience PTSD because of that right there. And it's like, man, how do you not go through that? Because some of the things that I've heard, some of the stories I heard, especially like going through the gas chamber and having that experience alone, I'm like, yeah, no, I don't want to do it. I'm good. I don't want to do that. Because I might punch my sergeant and then I'll be in jail. I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to listen to this. Yelling in my face or telling me, you know, saying crazy stuff to me and think I ain't going to react now. You ain't the enemy now, but you could become the enemy. So be careful, Sergeant, such and such.
My problem is
with being in the military, they program you to think and do certain things. But when you come back home, you're not deprogrammed, or it's not like the debriefings that I think that they do are not what they really need. And so trying to come back home and deal with regular home life after you've been in the military for so long is a struggle.
Yeah. Especially if you don't have a support system at home, because some of those young men and women that go in, it's because they were troubled in the real world, and then they went over there. But like you said, there was no let me get you ready for what you're about to do life, because you don't have to do this anymore once they're done. So
right.
Like you said, there's no debriefing, if that's what you want to. If that's a good word, is that a word? Debriefing. Is that the right terminology?
It might not be the right terminology.
That's the one we use in the day.
That's what they do when they come back from a time. They debrief them. And a lot of times, you know, PTSD, it comes from suppression as well. Because, you know, a lot of the officers in the service, they want them to hide something.
Yeah, definitely. That's the other side of it, too. You're trying to cover up or keep everything quiet. You know, and it causes some people to have a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, and it comes from that as well. Those things that they can't talk about on their mission, and they have to hold it in, and you know you can't even talk about it in a therapy session. So that's complex PTSD, you know, because they be living those traumatic experiences every day or every week or you know whenever they're doing battle. So that's a whole nother one, you know, when there's something that keeps happening repeatedly. How do you deal with that?
Mm-hmm. You gotta get some help, huh?
What about people that have been incarcerated?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're used to a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they used to a certain way of living. So how many every years they've been doing it? Yeah.
Yeah, I know
definitely
about that personally.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So my thing is, how do you get them to not have to do, like, there has to be a process, right?
Right.
They got to be debriefed.
My word.
They got to be debriefed. All I like right there, they got to be debriefed. They obviously didn't get the memo, so they need to be debriefed again.
You gotta debrief them.
About the ways of this, you know, this life outside of the prison walls, because that's a whole nother bondage, and they're living traumatic experiences every day trying to survive in the prison walls. So that's coming out here. This life is sped up, you know, from them being in there.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're supposed to, is there not a process for when they're getting out to help them slowly wing themselves back into what the real world is going to be like if they've been in there for a long period of time?
No, it's called parole officers that don't give them. It sucks. No, the process sucks. They need to overhaul the whole rehabilitation because they're not rehabilitating nobody. That's why I said, I know I got personal experience with this. You know, I'm going to be transparent. My husband went through that. I probably did more rehabilitating him than they did. You know,
wow.
But the system needs help because all they want you to do is do what they say so they can put it on paper, go to these treatment programs, but you're not getting to the root of the problem. You just trying to make sure they come in and report to you. You don't care about what they got going on. You don't care about if they got anxiety. You feel like, well, all prisoners get some type of moderate anxiety, but they really got stuff going on in their brain. They're institutionalized.
That's
so
right.
That system, no, it's horribly failing.
Yeah.
So when they decided that they were going to build jails, remember, they were supposed to be for rehabilitation.
Uh-huh.
But how do you rehabilitate a person when you have them locked up in a room like a dog? You put a dog in a cage.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, people that are when come out, some of them are more intelligent and have more wisdom than even we do. Because when they get out, they are not thinking about, they don't even care anymore about if they return back to jail. Does that make sense?
They don't.
It's kind of like I'm going back home.
Home. I'm going back to what's familiar. I'm telling you, I could, now this is one, if it's close to home, they have that mindset, this is familiar. I know what to expect every day in this place.
Yep.
That's right.
And it's comfortable. It's comfortable to them.
Yep.
Because it's what they know. When it's a situation where you're unfamiliar with something, it makes you uncomfortable.
So then being incarcerated starts to mess with your mental.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where that PTSD comes in.
Mm-hmm. Woo!
Yep.
So are we helping our people or helping them? Because that's not what they were
set up to do. Definitely not helping. You know, I watch a lot of the judge shows, and what I noticed that in a lot of the judge shows, some of those people that are getting out of jail and out of the prison, they're helping themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the system that's helping them get back on their feet. They're helping themselves, which means they're choosing not to live a certain life, or they're trying to find other ways, which makes it harder, and that's why people end up back in certain situations, because if they don't have that support system, if they don't have somebody there who's got their best, and they're not mentally stable enough because they haven't been rehabilitated, they haven't been taught to live in the world the way that it is now since they're out of jail, it definitely makes a difference. It makes it harder. It makes it very, very, very difficult. But that's why I say, you know, once you've been diagnosed or once you recognize that there is a problem, then you definitely need to seek help. You definitely need to seek help. So right now I'm going to give, there is a number that you can call for PTSD. I'll give this number out a couple of times. It's 1-800-273-8255. It's the PTSD hotline and nationwide suicide prevention lifeline. It's also affiliated with mental health. So, again, that number is 800-273-8255. That's for mental health. There is also, if you're a veteran, they have a PTSD online and crisis line for vets as well. And that's www.ptsd.gov. Get help / crisis. I'll post it up for you guys to see, but definitely don't let your issue go unresolved. Handle what you think you need to handle that's going to help make you better. You know, don't, because we all have, and don't feel bad about it. I'm never afraid to admit that I have I might never let you see my hair. I may never let you see my hair, what it really looks like. But if I got a mental issue, because that affects how I'm communicating with you and how I'm dealing with you, now that we should talk about. But my hair don't have nothing to do with you. So don't worry about that. We just go on. See, some people be focused on the wrong thing. We focused on the mental health. That's what we focused on. And that's what you should focus on. If there is an issue, you should definitely, definitely talk about it. I have a couple people with their hand up. 770-0258. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Cotton. Hi, lady.
Hello. I recognize that. Hi, Officer Crenshaw. How are you?
I've been trying to make it for the longest. I finally made it, so I'm sitting back listening. I'm loving the conversation about PTSD. It's actually something that you can receive PTSD from anything.
If it that's right.
A traumatic experience with a police officer. It needs to be part of a health care where I hate to say this, but if you get ahead of the game, you can win the game. Even if it's stopped by an officer or a bad experience at work, if you call that number and say, hey, I feel like I'm having PTSD. I'm having these emotions, these experiences. I don't know what it's coming from. It'll put you ahead of the game where people can't get over on you and you're actually one step ahead of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it comes right. from everything that we're dealing with in today's world. You know,
mm-hmm.
PTSD from the insurrection. You know, everything that's going on affects us. How it affects us as individuals is different. But it affects us. And if we feel a certain way about it, we need to be able to call somebody to say, hey, I'm feeling this way. What can I do? Who do I need to talk to? And in a lot of cases, if you get ahead of the game, you win the game because your boss fired you because you've already got ahead of the game. No, I called him because I was feeling this way. You know, you go through an experience with an officer on the street and you lose it. You know, you've already got documentation to prove that you've had issues with this because of something that happened beforehand, which will help you when it goes to court.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Now, have you seen a lot in your line of work previously? Have you seen a lot of people with PTSD?
Yes. Yes, they have PTSD, but officers write it off as crazy, mental, delusional, drunk. You know, but if they take a moment to listen to them and listen to what they're saying, then they might understand what the situation is. It's like one of the ladies was saying, you know, she had to debrief her husband, you know, after coming out of prison. You know, really, he just needed someone to talk to because of his experience, you know, and trying to get back into today's world. You know, they should have that available for everybody. It shouldn't fall solely on the family member. You know, when you're coming out of prison, when you're coming out of the military, you know, this is what you have to go through. These are the steps in the process. Yes, they're just documenting it to cover their ass, but at least it's documented so if you snap, they can't throw you back into prison.
That's right. That's right. That is so true. I have another caller with their hand up. 1436. What's your name and where are you calling from? 678. Okay, maybe they're not talking right now. Okay. Okay, we're going to put you back on mute. But yeah, I agree, Officer Crenshaw. I think that there has to be some type of rehabilitation that's really going to help, opposed to just putting people back out there. Or like you were just saying, like even just in the workplace, if something traumatic happens, then there should be some type of you first need to let somebody know or at least recognize that it could be a problem. And then if it's not, then you're fine. But at least if you put it out there, then somebody can tell you how to get help for yourself, opposed to you just moving on like it's normal. Some things just really, we've made it like it's a normal part of life when it's really not. And PTSD being one of those things, like you said, they just write it off as crazy or drunk or you must have had something to drink. Did you take anything, ma'am? No, sir, I had some aspirin earlier, but that's, no, mm-mm, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, right. We got to do better.
If they get ahead of the game, then they can win the game. And
yeah,
I learned that working as an officer, but thinking like a lawyer.
Okay. Ooh, that's smart. That's real smart. You don't teach this anywhere, do you?
I volunteered to teach when I retired to the new officers, and I told them they don't even have to pay me. I'll just go back and teach because I survived, but I survived through respect. I gave respect and I got respect. The new generation aren't doing that. And they declined. They didn't want to bring me in. They said, well, it's a liability. It's this, it's that. And I'm like, well, okay. You know, you reap what you sow. And look at what's going on in the world today. You know,
you're
talking about PTSD. How many people that just watched what happened to George Floyd over TV have PTSD?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Oh, yeah.
You know, it wasn't directly involving them, but it was traumatizing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To sit there and watch that, and then they go over it and over it and over it again. You know, hell, I'd be a bundle of damn nerves if a cop pulled me over now. You know?
Yeah.
So,
that part of you where you think that when you get stopped, am I going to end up like George Floyd?
Well, and that's the thing. You know, they can tax us, they can FICA us, and state tax us, and county tax us. How about giving us some damn allowance for some psychiatric help from PTSD that we're receiving every day?
On a daily basis.
You know, $50 a month to my check just so I can use it if I need to go talk to someone.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But and I think that that applies for police officers too. Some of the good guys who had to deal with the backlash of what those officers did. When we have bad cops do things like that, now you got to deal with the backlash of what bad cops do because you are a good cop. But we don't. The regular person don't see it that way. We see it as y'all together.
Right. And
I used to tell them,
I said, look, I grew up in the hood. We didn't snitch on each other in the hood. So you look at the police officers that work together as brothers in the hood. They're not going to snitch on each other. But when things go overline, you got to know when to step up so you don't get pulled down. And you tell. No, he hit him, and he shouldn't have did that. You know, he kicked him, he stomped him, you know, or whatever. Or go straight to that officer, too. You do some shit like that again in front of me, and we're going to have a problem.
Right.
You know, call him out on it. But the fear is nobody wants to call anybody out until it's known, widely known. Then they want to point the finger.
But nobody wants to see it.
You know, PTSD is real, and it's in all of us.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Definitely in all of us.
I don't know how old you ladies are, but if I see somebody getting whooped with a switch, I'm remembering. I'm flashbacking.
And that's part of
yep.
it.
What did you say,
I think
lady?
In our every mandatory. I said, I think that in our everyday life, it should be mandatory. It's part of self-care. So when you get upset, that could be part of your conflict resolution. It's to talk to somebody. You also have somebody in line, somebody that you've been talking to. I think we should normalize having to go speak to somebody about this daily PTSD that we are all faced with. People don't watch the news because they're dealing with PTSD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Killed and all these babies and all these different things that are going on in the world. You can't control all that stuff, but you have to hear it and you have to see it. That creates a certain amount of PTSD on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with y'all. There should be something in our living allowance that allows us to go speak to somebody about our daily PTSD that this world gives to us every single day.
Yep. Most certainly. Most certainly. I said we gotta start stepping up and doing better by the people in our community, period. It doesn't matter because everybody's dealing with something, especially after COVID. Because a lot of people went through some stuff that would cause them some PTSD in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and,
you know they're going to say that if you feel you need to go see a shrink, it's part of your health care. So they're going to throw that over on health care. You know,
yeah.
But I say document your feelings every day like a daily journal so that you have something to fall back on if things go south for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah,
you might not have seen a doctor about your emotions or your feelings, but you wrote it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Definitely wrote it down at some point. You should, like you say, it should be documented. You know,
or at least tell somebody about it.
I think that's important that you do document it because at the end of the day, some things you'll remember and some things you won't remember. But if you write it down, be like, oh, yeah, I was feeling this way on this day. And then whoever you're talking to can tell you if it's mental illness or if it's PTSD or if it's anxiety or whatever it is. But I think most of us all deal with some type of, all have some traumatic experiences that cause us PTSD or anxiety or some, but normalize getting help for it. That's what should be normalized. Normalize getting help for these post-traumatic stress disorder things that we deal with on a daily basis. Patricia, were you saying something? I'm sorry.
No, I was just agreeing.
Okay. I thought I was cutting you off. I apologize. I thought we had Michael on here, but I'm not sure. I think I might not have him on here no more. Lady Justice, were you saying something?
You know what I noticed? That in some people's health care package or their medical enrollment packet or whatever you want to call it, their medical insurance, some of these companies are offering dollars just because you went in for your regular doctor's visit.
Yeah.
How about offering that for this situation?
offering for this. I don't know that. I think they. Yeah.
We got to start getting to the root of things, and mental health is the big thing.
Yeah, because you know there's a lot of homeless people out there with mental illness that nobody wants to address or they don't want to deal with. Some of them have become unapproachable because of their mental illness. You know, so I think I don't know where to start, but I know we need to start somewhere. I know we need to start somewhere. This number again, if you're having, you feel like you're having PTSD or some type of mental health issues, or you're feeling suicidal in some way, the number is 800-273-8255. 800-273-8255. Just so you know. And for vets, there is a website for PTSD for veterans as well, so you can take advantage of that help from your VA if you need it. But definitely find out if you have PTSD. At least take a look, and find out if you got PTSD. I think all of us, if you haven't had it, traumatic, you probably have a little bit of PTSD. Just saying. So there we go.
Even if you've had a perfect life, there's some trauma in there.
There's some trauma there somewhere. You just have normalized it, so you don't think it's an issue. No, boo. No. It's not supposed to be normal. It's not supposed to be normal. Think about it. I know people that have been shot who haven't got any help for their PTSD. So you survived it, but I'm sure, there's some mental health that's coming with that, because if somebody approaches you the same way that, this is prior to, you're going to feel some type of way. It could be as simple as that. Don't brush it off. Don't think that it's nothing. Oh, that's nothing. I'll be okay. Don't do that, because later on down the line, if you haven't dealt with the issue and figure out how to get it under control, it could turn into something far worse.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that I give you a little bit of education on that, because we don't want to keep normalizing certain behaviors and then relying on the police, because the police don't even know. I think, did y'all ever see that video where they shot the young man? He had a knife and he was trying to stab people with it, but the young man had mental health issues. Well, the police is out there, but the police don't know how to deal with this man that's got mental issues. They know that he's got they know he's mentally ill, but they don't know how to deal with him. So they shoot him instead.
They need some training. They need to be debriefed.
That's right. They need some training on that. It's called mental
They need to be trained. They need to be all that, because there's no sensitivity, some understanding, but some type of, technique, procedures, education that will allow them to understand them, because the first thing they want to do is go to their gun and try to kill somebody, and that's not doing anything but just throwing more violence and more things for people to look at on the news and go crazy about and develop more PTSD. Like, it's a never-ending cycle.
Yeah, because it's more out of fear, because they don't know what to do. They don't know. And they're afraid.
Yes.
But you can't be afraid holding the gun.
Definitely not. You don't hit the right target.
You'd be
surprised how many of them are.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like,
sometimes that's why they become who they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wait, that's another show. My bad.
Hello, can you hear me?
How's everybody doing? This is Michael Gage, and I've just been sitting back listening. Sorry to drop in like that, Cotton. Interesting conversation, interesting topic, as usual. But I'm hearing some distortion. We'll check that out. But have you guys heard about, you know, we spoke about these video games, you know, the Call of Duty games and this and that and all the other games, you know, the violence. But I was watching a program where the military are using these games for people in the military that suffer from PTSD, in some cases to reenact what they went through in a controlled environment. And according to what the story was saying, that it has been helpful of using these simulations and taking the person back into those situations that they were in during combat. Has anyone heard anything about this?
I have not.
No, but I know one of the 17 symptoms of the PTSD is avoiding the events that happen, so that would actually make sense to be, you know, productive for them to be able to, you know, relive it and then get through it, because a lot of times they're using avoidance, you know, to not pay attention to what's going on, so that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just wondering if you heard about this. I'm going to look into a little more. I'm trying to kind of figure out. I wouldn't want to relive or hope to rest myself, but they say that it is helpful, or it is being helpful to treat individuals who went through, you know, these type of situations. But this question, I'm going to sit back and listen. Hey, Officer Crenshaw. All
right. What's up, Mike?
How you doing?
All right.
Michael? Lady Justice.
Yeah, I'm on the
show.
Oh, yeah,
I didn't
know
you were here. Well, I'm glad you chimed in, Michael, because I wasn't sure. I said, I think that's him that's trying to chime in, but when I opened the mic, you probably were busy already, so...
Yeah,
yeah,
I was,
I
had to step away from the area I was in. I was in an area that was kind of loud, so I muted myself for a while.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we appreciate you with chiming in. If you don't know who Michael Gay is, tune in to the TMGS on Saturdays. Michael Gay, the Michael Gay Show on the TMGN Network. If you're not sure who Michael Gay is, Google him.
And you got somebody on the board that was that's raising their hand right about now.
Somebody's raising their hand.
Yep, 404.
Oh, they sure. Okay, 404. I'm going to open your mic. Please tell us where you're calling from and your name, please, and your question or comment. Hello. You're on Let's Talk About It with the ladies of TMZ on 513. Okay.
Take yourself off mute.
I'm sorry. I was on mute. This is Jana Davis, and I'm from Atlanta, but living with Dr. Georgia.
Oh, hey.
So,
hey.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes. So I wanted to just talk about the PTSD, because when I was a child, you know, up until maybe I was about 21 years old, I was real quiet and shy, and I felt like I had a sign on my back for men, you know, that was saying, pick me, you know, because something was always happening, you know, where people were, guys were trying to take advantage of me. And it can cause a severe problem if you don't take care of it. But back then, like you said, Cotton, you know, you talk to your family about it, but they never talk about going to the doctors or getting therapy. And when I did decide to get therapy, I had family members think I was crazy, but it helped. It really does. A lot of people don't want to get therapy, but that is the best thing that you can do.
It helps a lot. Yes. It helps.
Yes, it does.
It helps quite a bit, because sometimes it's just a conversation that needs to be had, and maybe with somebody that's not judging you, and somebody who's not going to throw it back at you later because they're angry that you want to be able to have that conversation. So sometimes that's really what it is. You just need to talk to get it out so that you're not holding whatever it is inside anymore. So,
I used to wonder what was wrong with me, why I – or was I doing something to put myself in those situations? But I think it was because I was shy and quiet and didn't talk much, you know, that I was, I think that's what attracted men towards trying to molest me.
Mm.
Yeah. So I stopped being quiet and shy.
Are you looking at extending a little longer?
Yes, just probably maybe 15 minutes. Oh, shoot, yes.
You know how to do it. You just go over to the time on the board.
I'm sorry, I do not know how to do it, actually.
Okay, so you're on the board, so go over to where it shows the show, the episode information, and see where it tells what time the show starts and all that good stuff.
Uh-huh.
See what time it says. It says 60 minutes, right? The time should say 60. Right there where it says it shows the date, show start and everything. It should be down towards like right underneath the description of the show. And you click on that 60 minutes and that should cascade down where you can add another 30 minutes. It gives it in 30-minute intervals.
Oh. Yes.
Okay. So click that and go to 90, and it will give you the other 30 minutes. And you can end whenever you want to.
Okay. I just learned something today. I got a whole lesson on the air.
Normalize learning stuff all the time.
Exactly.
All the time.
So, Janet, you just gave me another idea for the show. We definitely talk about that on the show. We need to bring that up on the show. I know it's a very sensitive subject for some people, but I think we should definitely talk about it. I do. Did I not do it?
I think so too. I mean, like I said, I used to be real quiet and shy, but I'm not like that anymore. And a lot of that came through me going to therapy and learning how to say no and voice my opinion.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because
that is right. That's right.
I don't know what's happening right now. Because because people don't talk about that either. But I think that's going to be in the point of we're talking about PTSD. But I'm definitely going to put that on the list of shows that we need to talk about, because I want to empower people to learn how to recognize certain things, get past it, and that is what we want this show to be about, is to learn how to deal with certain situations. And PTSD is a big deal in almost any community. It's not just ours. It's any community. Not just your community. It's any and every community that we're dealing with this situation at hand. basis, and for some, it's every day.
That's so true.
It's every day. So I appreciate everybody sharing sharing their experiences as far as PTSD is concerned. And I definitely appreciate my co-host coming on to the show today. I'm so excited. You know, thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Michael. I wanted to see if anybody had any last minute advice that they want to give to anybody that may have PTSD or they're experiencing some type of mental breakdown.
I think we all pretty much summed it up, you know. If you recognize it, you think about it, get help. You know, see somebody else you can talk to. There's so many resources out here. You got phones, technology, there's a way, but just reach out if you can. If you got, you know, activity of your limb, your voice, just reach out. That's the first step, and then maybe we can begin to heal if more people just reach out, be bold, and speak up.
Yeah. Lady Justice? Is she still there? Officer Crenshaw, do you have any last minute advice? Oh, there she goes.
The friend that just listens to you, that's
mm-hmm.
probably going to be the one you need. That friend
mm-hmm.
that doesn't judge. That friend that says, hey, you can call me at any time. Any day, I don't care what I'm doing, I'm going to stop and I'm going to listen. That's who you need, that friend. If you need somebody like that, I'm your girl. That's Lady J. I'm not here to judge. We all have gone through what we've gone through, and it's how we got over that makes us better. So if there's anybody
yep.
that I can lend an ear, I will do that. Cotton will tell you, I talk to her a lot, and I don't ask for her to help me through anything. It's just a way of getting it off my chest, releasing
yep.
what I'm going through. I know what I need to do, but at this moment, I'm so wrapped up in what's going on, I just need to tell somebody. And so that would be my advice to you. Get with that friend and tell somebody. And if it comes to a
yeah.
point where they end up giving you some advice, it may be the best advice that they could give you at that point. And it may actually help you because you may not know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just reach out.
Yep. And that's vice versa. So I call her. I've had some moments, and we do it for each other, you know. So if you do, like she said, if you do have that friend, definitely reach out. Don't think that nobody cares or nobody's listening or anything like that. What I used to do, and I will say this. One of the other things I used to do before I had. Well, I felt like I had a friend that I could really talk to, is I would write everything down, like Officer Crenshaw, I think Officer Crenshaw mentioned
yep.
earlier. I would write things, I would write how I was feeling down just on paper. And honestly, that turned into, because like Janet was saying earlier, I was very shy, I was very quiet, I was soft-spoken. That's how I got the title, Soft-Spoken Poet, because I was always so soft-spoken, people could be like, why, you talk too soft, I can't. So because I felt like people didn't care enough and they weren't really listening, I would just write it down. And that actually turned into writing poetry, actually. That's how that happened. But if you mm-hmm. write down, sometimes write down how you're feeling and just put it in a, you can tear it up and throw it away if you want to. But if you really just don't feel like you have anybody, so you can try that method too. But don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on yourself. Officer Crenshaw, did you have any last minute words?
Just for everyone to CYA, like you were saying, write it down, you know, whatever you can do, because you never know. Your moment of anger, your moment of frustration could be PTSD. and someone looks at it as something else. So, you know, write it down. Talk to somebody. You know, do whatever you have to do so that you cover your ass if it's, if the circle starts to come back around.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Janet Davis, do you have any last words of encouragement or advice?
Well, I'm just like Lady Justice. I have so much experience and have, you know, throughout life that I have a lot of people that always come to me and ask me for advice and questions, and I'm always there to help and lend an ear. So having a good friend, like you said, is the best thing to do. Be there for them and help them through all situations.
Definitely, definitely. Michael, did you have any last-minute words?
No, not really. I just really enjoyed the conversation, a great topic, and look forward to the next episode of Let's Talk About It.
Awesome, awesome. So I just want to thank everybody for coming on the show. I don't know if I got a chance to tell Michael, but there is a show next week, next Thursday. I added another day of Let's Talk About It. So I can't tell you what the topic is right off. What? I can't tell you what the topic is so that you'll know that we have and the ladies, I kind of sprung it on the last minute, kind of, sort of. So that our next topic for Let's Talk About It, we're going to be discussing what are the warning signs when a child is being molested. So we will be talking about that. What do some mothers, or why do some mothers blame the daughter, and what do you do if she becomes pregnant? So we're going to talk about those things on. And I know it's a very touchy topic for some people, but I believe that it is a topic that needs to be discussed. So when these warning signs come up, you can kind of look at your child instead of blaming your child, find out. If you think they're lying, why would they lie? If, you know, I mean, there's a lot. We'll discuss it on Let's Talk About It next Thursday. So you don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss this show. You definitely don't want to miss this one. But I want to thank everybody for coming on the show. Let's Talk About It with the ladies of TMGN, Cotton Campbell, Lady Justice, Patricia B., and Lucy, who we're praying for her. She wasn't able to make it on the show tonight, but I do appreciate everybody who did come on. But I will see you all. We will see you all next Thursday. Let's not forget. So thank you all for coming on. Please don't forget to share this information. I also want to remind everybody that we are on iHeartRadio and we're on Spotify. So please share the information so that people can know to start going over there and listening to us as well. The network is on Spotify. The network is on iHeartRadio. The network is not just, it's not just Let's Talk About It. It's the network. And also next month, Cotton Campbell will be doing an open mic night with the softest voice in poetry. So you can come in and do some poetry or some singing or some jokes or some rapping or tell a story or whatever you feel like doing. So it's late night, open mic with the softest voice in poetry. Thank y'all for joining. Let's Talk About It. You know my motto, peace, love, and loyalty. God before man, spirit before flesh, and love before what? Love before hate. Have a good night, everybody.
Hey, this is St. James, and you're tuning in to TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, home of the Michael Gay Show, and Let's Talk About It, with your host, Cotton Campbell. So keep it locked here for more great conversation on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. Let's get it, baby.